Where are you headed? How has your Lenten seeking changed you? We began our Lenten journey with Jesus' words, "Change your life, God's kingdom is here. The Holy Spirit is within you. Breathe life, love, peace, joy, creativity. Grace is within you. God is eager to change, redeem, renew, renovate, resurrect you and the entire cosmos to glorious perfection." So far in this season of Lent, how have you changed? What life-diminishing aspects have you let go of? And how have you repented, turned, changed to life-giving aspects? God has promised to never leave or forsake us. God has promised to always be with us. God is grace. Every poor choice is forgiven. Every hurt is healed. Every moment is a fresh start, pure with endless possibilities for change, goodness, joy, and love. Where are you headed? The confirmands put their faith into words. Each of us was invited that day to choose who we will serve. If you reaffirmed your faith to serve God, then you are called to embody the healing love of God for all people. We are all commissioned to love extravagantly. Where are you headed? Jesus and the woman at the well gave each other water. How are you receiving living water? How are you giving living water to others? How are you expanding your imagination of the coming glorious kingdom of God? A majestic world of extravagant love, ceaseless joy, enduring peace, growing abundance, complete wholeness, expanding wonders, and vibrant relationships with all people. Where are you headed? How are you letting go of judgment and growing in grace? How are you moving from whose fault is it? Why did that happen? To how can I help? How can I love? How are you letting go of cause and effect thinking to healing questions and healing actions? Where are you headed? There were two parades on that first Palm Sunday happening at once. Jesus' unconventional and unexpected entry in Jerusalem and Pilate's extravagant orchestrated processional. As Jesus and Pilate entered the city for the Passover, they embodied two different directions. Pilate commands military dominance and imperial power. Jesus ushers in the kingdom of God within the way of peace and love. And I know that some of you still remember when Pastor Riz dressed up as a donkey to give the donkey's perspective, and Pastor David Mohakian dressed up as the stallion to give the stallion's perspective. Within the chaos and commotion of that day, which parade would you have attended? Which leader would you have followed? Today's scripture states that the whole city was in an uproar, that it was stirred up by Jesus' arrival. A religious scholar asserts this: Jesus, typically frozen with religious formalism, was stirred by the popular enthusiasm as by a mighty wind, by an earthquake. Compare the Jesus parade with Pentecost. In both stories, pilgrims from different tribes have come to Jerusalem for a festival. At the Jesus parade, the crowds ask, "Who is this?" And at Pentecost, the crowds ask, "What does this mean?" What does it mean to you that the crowds responded to this mysterious transformational love with questions? As we enter Holy Week, what questions are stirring in you? Imagine you are one of the disciples. You know the threats mounting against Jesus. You know the religious leaders are conspiring against him. As Jesus openly enters the city with a public procession, how do you feel? Imagine you are in the crowd that has chosen the Jesus parade over the parade of Pilate. The proclamation Hosanna is a Hebrew imperative that was initially a cry for help, meaning save us. Over time, it was also used liturgically in Psalm 118 as an expression of praise and adoration sung at the Festival of Tabernacles, which was associated with palm branches. The crowd is described as shouting and crying out. Therefore, the tone of the parade is nuanced and complex. Some are shouting out in desperation. Some are joyfully shouting out with praise and adoration. Some are there for the festival of the Passover, participating in the liturgical processional without really giving it a lot of thought. Some are threatened and afraid. Some are seeking forgiveness, others healing. Some are seeking abundant life. What form of Hosanna resonates with you? Are you shouting, crying out, mumbling, exclaiming, or silent? Listen to the story one more time from the Gospel of Matthew. As Jesus and disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," Jesus said. "As you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over the colt, and Jesus sat on the colt. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of Jesus, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around Jesus were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!'" The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as Jesus entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Probably most of us want to believe that if we were there, we would have chosen the Jesus parade. But which parade does your lifestyle, your choices, your conversations, your views, how you spend your time and money align? Up until this point, Jesus, for the most part, avoided religion and politics. Jesus begins Holy Week with a pre-planned processional, calls himself king, comes to Jerusalem on the high religious holiday of Passover, and enters at the same time that Pilate and the military have planned their processional. Is Jesus asking people to make a choice to determine where they are headed? A choice similar to Joshua and the Israelites. Choose this day who you will serve, idols or God. A choice similar to what is laid out in the first Psalm. The people had to choose to attend one parade. Your work is to seek, to explore, to wrestle, to listen to the Holy Spirit and determine where you are headed. And not just a surface answer. Are you putting your love for all into action? Can others see where you are headed by the way you live your daily life? Which parade would you have attended? The well-organized, safe, orderly, militaristic parade of law and order? enforcing the status quo, oppressing some, which drew most of the rich, scholarly, and powerful, or the chaotic, risky movement of love, demanding change, equality for all people, the Jesus parade, or one might call it more of a protest, including people from every segment of the population. Yes, there were the rich there, the religious leaders, politicians, the powerful, some of them at least. But there was also soldiers, tax collectors, foreigners, women, children, people from various religions, poor, outcast, oppressed, lepers, lame, blind, immigrants, refugees, adulterers, orphans, demon-possessed, sick, broken, desperate. They screamed Hosanna to praise God and to beg for help, for healing, and for change. Jesus and Pilate embody different directions. Scripture is asking you to make a choice. Where are you headed? Pastor Liesl Gwen-Grierity writes, which parade you would join in Jerusalem has a lot to say about your definition of power. If you are quick to place yourself in the Jesus parade, she encourages you to pause and consider these questions honestly. When have you aligned yourself with systems or people who have used their power to uphold the status quo or for violence? When have you embodied power through vulnerability and love for your neighbor? Jesus was clear from the first day of his ministry. Jesus proclaimed, "Change your life. God's kingdom is here." Jesus' teachings, parables, healings, and lifestyle all proclaimed God's redeeming grace freely offered to all people. Jesus' love was radical and extreme. Later in the week, Jesus would further disrupt the fabric and stability of the world with humble subversion. He would turn over tables in the temple, directly challenge power, eat with sinners, heal the religiously impure, and of course, his death and resurrection. A perfect extreme love that continues to disrupt the world today and demands that all of us change, that we change all of our systems, institutions, and politics. Examine your lifestyle. How can you follow Jesus instead of empire? Now, there are always exceptions, and I am guessing that most of us here today are probably in the exception group. But I found it interesting that a recent study found that on average, as wealth increases, generosity decreases. And as safety increases, compassion for others decreases. And as the wealth of a country grows, participation in religious services decreases. There is nothing inherently evil about wealth, unless one lets their wealth decrease their generosity, compassion, faith, and love for everyone. Wealth can be a tool for tremendous good. What is your state of being? If one has been sick, grieving, struggling, feels set aside or ignored, or is experiencing powerlessness or marginalization, oppression, or fearful, any glimpse of gaining back some safety, some comfort, some peace, be welcomed and cheered. The deeper the struggle, typically the more vibrant the joy at the hope of some relief. Is that the source of the energy in the Jesus parade? And is that truly the type of parade you want to join? To join the Jesus parade, does one need to truly be for all people? For all the people that were there in that parade with Jesus? Should the Jesus parade be placed above all the parades in your life? Every human group, organization, church, political party is broken, flawed, and unable to love completely because they're all made up of people. And each and every one of us is broken, flawed, and unable to love completely. The good that politics could do is often distorted by power, control, and money. And this week we see that Jesus does exactly the opposite. Jesus humbly rode into Jerusalem. Jesus served everyone. Jesus sought to do the will of God. Politics is a tool that can be used for good. However, God is the source of all goodness and not politics. On that first Palm Sunday, some trusted politics, the Roman Empire, to create a just society, and others trusted God. Pastor and the former moderator of our denomination, Bruce Reyes Chow, in discussing where we are headed, laments those who are trying to combine two parades together and wrote this: "I hope that many are resisting the wave of Christian nationalism that has been the dominant Christian narrative in our political discourse. Too many are choosing the narrative of Jesus as a wartime victor and choosing a gospel militarized against anyone who would stray from a litmus test of beliefs. Beliefs that Jesus never actually addressed, and beliefs certainly not included in the commandments that Jesus did speak to us, to love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. We begin Holy Week with questions and choices. Are you trying to combine the parades, or are you choosing a parade, or are you striving to put the Jesus parade above everything as the foundation and guide to every aspect of your life, and let that goodness and love flow into you, and change the world? Are you with Jesus tenaciously establishing the kingdom of God on earth or not? Where are you headed?" A poem by Sarah Speed. "We are trains on a track moving through life at warp speed. Please keep all arms and legs inside the moving vehicle at all times. The years pass like a flip book faster than we can absorb, but the train does not stop. We press our faces to the windows to try and get a good view, and we ask each other, where are you headed? And there on the train, we decide. We want to head toward the promised day. We want to head toward crowded tables and long, healthy lives. We want to move in the direction of joyful children and hopeful communities. We want to move closer to God with every mile of track. And that does not happen by accident. So it's time to ask again, where are you headed? And who is driving your train?" On that first Palm Sunday, Jesus stood at a crossroads at the outside of Jerusalem. Jesus could have chose a life of safety, of healing many people and loving many people in the safety of the countryside. Instead, Jesus chose to sacrifice his life for all people, revealing God's love for all people, giving hope to all people. And Jesus' resurrection is a promise that the kingdom of God is continually coming to earth in every act of love. Will you follow Jesus? Amen.